This year we've issued 250 permits for the Tier 2 moose hunt.
Moose hunters gather this Friday to talk about the season ahead and road closures and homecomings for all the area runners. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. You got your permit, license, check. Your moose call is so good it scares the dog. Sharpen the skinning knife, shine the binoculars, and have cleaned and recleaned your 30-06 every day this week. But there's one thing you're still missing before this year's moose hunt opens in the Northern Panhandle.
So we look forward to having as many hunters as we can come to the meeting on Friday night.
The annual information meeting for the upcoming hunt is Friday, September 10th at 6:30 p.m. It's at the American Bald Eagle Foundation in Haines. And as Anthony Krupe from the Department of Fish and Game says, it's a good refresher for anyone going on moose hunt, no matter their level of experience.
This year we've issued 250 permits for the Tier 2 moose hunt, and we'll go through some of the statistics of the hunts from last year and show quite a few pictures of what different antler configurations look like, give hunters an idea on what to look for and what to keep in mind for what could be confusing as to a moose that is sublegal.
Krupe referenced last November's moose survey as he said he's looking forward to this year's hunt. Based on last year's results, he says the herd is about the same size as the year before.
We counted 183 moose with a bull-to-cow ratio of 35 bulls to every 100 cows, and about 24% of the population was calves.
Those numbers mean Fish and Game is expecting a harvest in line with past years, a guideline harvest of 20 to 25 bulls. Rules for harvest haven't changed. The hunt is still managed as a spike fork 50 or three brow tine hunt.
So you essentially want to look at the antler configuration of the moose and see if it's a large bull or a moose with small antlers. And at that point, you would try to determine whether the antlers have a spike or a fork, which is 2 points, and most commonly people harvest moose with three brow tines. Last year we had 10 of the 19 bulls harvested had three brow tines. One was larger than 50 inches, and there were four that were spike fork configuration.
Last year's moose hunt was daunting at times for both hunters and biologists who were stuck evaluating some very close calls on what was legal and what was not.
Last year we had 19 bulls that were harvested. Four of those were sublegal. One was left in the field, and it was a 2x2. So it's really important for people to take a good look at the moose before they shoot it. Make sure that it has either three brow tines, a spike, a fork, or they're very certain that it's greater than 50 inches.
There is a system for dealing with harvested sublegal moose. The meat is donated to a local charity, and the hunter receives a citation. The person is allowed to apply for a moose permit the following year, however.
The worst thing that can happen is to leave these moose in the field. They'll go to a good use. The best thing to do is bring it in, and we will take a look at the check station, make sure that it meets one of the legal requirements. If it doesn't, it's not the end of the world. We'll put the moose to good use, and that's the best thing that a hunter can do to be responsible and try to maintain this healthy hunt that we have in the Upper Lynn Canal.
The informational meeting for the upcoming Unit 1D Tier 2 moose hunt is on Friday, September 10th at 6:30 p.m. at the American Bald Eagle Foundation in Haines. FASD is the leading cause of mental disabilities in Alaska, the U.S., and all of the Western world. So why is it that most people don't really know exactly what it is?
FASD is the acronym, and it stands for Fetal Alcohol Spectrum Disorders.
Becky Chapin is Executive Director of Lynn Canal Counseling Services.
And it is basically when a fetus is exposed to alcohol in the womb.
She joins Governor Sean Parnell in bringing awareness to FASD this Thursday for what Parnell has designated as an awareness day for the affliction.
Thursday, September 9th, 2010, Governor Parnell has declared as Fetal Alcohol Spectrum Disorders Awareness Day.
15.8 births in every 1,000 in Alaska are affected by disabilities resulting from prenatal exposure to alcohol. That's about 158 babies each year. Although statistics are gloomy, says Chapin, the most uplifting news is that FASD is 100% preventable.
It is 100% preventable by women not drinking any alcohol during the full 9 months of pregnancy. Drinking alcohol at any time during pregnancy is never safe because depending on at what stage during the pregnancy alcohol is consumed will impact different areas of the brain, but nonetheless, some part of the brain will inevitably be impacted.
The state hosts a program that provides evaluations for kids born in Alaska. If diagnosed with FASD, there are resources and money to help those kids lead the most productive life they can. However, that help doesn't come cheap. The lifetime cost in medical care, special education, specialized services, and lost productivity is estimated at $1.5 to $3 million for each individual with FASD. Awareness Day encourages better understanding of the effects of prenatal exposure to alcohol, enhancing statewide prevention efforts, and increasing compassion for affected people. And it involves more people than just pregnant women, ends Chapin.
And we have a poster here at Lynn Canal Counseling that says, if you know a woman who's pregnant and drinking, reach out to her. You don't have to be a doctor. You don't have to be a mental health professional. You can just be a friend who cares and help her, you know, get the help she needs to stop drinking while she's pregnant.
The Klondike International Road Relay is Friday, September 10th. That means road closures and big celebrations from Skagway all the way to Whitehorse as the weekend begins. Megan Fries is program coordinator at Sport Yukon in Whitehorse. The annual road relay is the nonprofit's biggest fundraiser of the year.
We're a nonprofit organization that's run by a volunteer board. Most of our members are sport governing bodies throughout the Yukon, as well as some sport clubs, athletic clubs, and associations. We also organize Team Yukon to attend Arctic Winter Games, Canada Games.
The race is in its 29th year, and it'll include more than 1,300 runners of all skill levels this time around. That's more than 50 running teams from around Canada, and even more, 80 from Alaska. Furthermore, this year, more of those runners will be kids than ever before.
Well, it's pretty exciting this year. We actually have 3 youth teams registered. That was a new category we created just last year, and we only had 1 team registered. They run smaller legs from Carcross to Whitehorse, and so it's for younger runners. And also we have 4 ultra runners racing this year, and that's where one individual runner runs from Carcross right through to the finish line.
The relay route's 10 legs follow the trail of the Gold Rush Stampeders over the famous White Pass through British Columbia into the Yukon. It starts on Friday evening in Skagway, is run through the night, finishing Saturday in Whitehorse along the banks of the Yukon River.
We work really closely with some people through Skagway. Buckwheat Donahue is our major coordinator there in Skagway. He's been a great help, and he gets a crew together that helps us at the start line, and the City of Whitehorse, as well as Skagway City Police and the National Park Services, help us out by giving us a building to do captains' meetings in and people to help us at the start line.
Skagway's Broadway between 1st and 2nd Avenues will close at 3:30 p.m. until 11 p.m. on Friday. 2nd Avenue at Spring and State Streets will close from 5:50 to 8:05 p.m. 2nd will reopen, but drivers should drive slowly since about 100 runners are expected to depart between then and 11 p.m.
I just want to let people know that the Klondike Road Relay is going on Friday night, so if you are traveling the highway, watch out for runners.
People who still want to run have a bit of a chance to get into the overnight race by contacting Sport Yukon.
You can contact us or look on our website if you're looking to run. Right now, pretty much all the teams are full. Another option would be if you are in Skagway, if you want to come to the race headquarters, which is at the National Parks office. Quite often, right before start times and that sort of stuff, teams are struggling to find runners. So if you want to sign up there, we can take your name. And if any teams come in looking for last-minute runners, they can coordinate something.
If tradition holds, Broadway businesses will light up the start of the race with their shop lights. That and getting out in your PJs to cheer are just a couple ways to show support for the Klondike Road Relay runners. Or you could party in Whitehorse at the race's celebration on Saturday night.
We still finish at Rotary Peace Park. The last few years it's been nice and sunny, and we have music playing. We have a Merrill t-shirt tent. People are playing football in the park. Everybody's there to cheer on their runners. Everybody's just celebrating that the race is done. it's just kind of a legacy that keeps going.
The thousands of runners departing Skagway this Friday are following the route taken not only by Gold Rush pioneers, but by a team of people raising money for Hospice of Haines by running for nearly two straight weeks. The Golden Circle run began in Skagway at the beginning of the month, and for the second year in a row, primary runner Kelly Hostetler has vowed to run the 360 miles from Skagway around the Golden Circle to Haines. So far, she's hit rain she's had to call torrential. Locals have slowed down in their cars to yell encouragement. Friends and family have run and biked alongside. Others provide support in various ways. And Kelly is almost to Dalton Cash border station. That is big, and those involved say the fundraising part of the tour is even bigger. The run has raised thousands of dollars for the local branch of Hospice through donations from pledges. Pledge sheets are still around town until Kelly makes her way into Haines on Sunday. More information is also at goldencirclerun.org. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS Local News. Share your neighborhood news with anyone. Just send them a link to khns.org. Archives of past newscasts are under the Listen tab.